hard to follow all that. Brother Farrell always kept me humble. I can say that. When we left Grace Baptist Temple years ago, he wasn't real happy with me. I was young and dumb and didn't know anything, and I left because I was mad at him. It's easy to get mad at him sometimes, but when it worked out that God in his providence, I was his church member, and there in his last years, he became a church member, and I was his pastor. So it all worked out kind of. And so he would keep me humble, and I would come into the room, and he'd say, "Hello, Pastor." I never got to tell him, and I hated that. I miss him. I do. My dad died several years ago, and then Brother Farrell went on. It just doesn't seem real. Doesn't seem real that he's gone, that he's not here anymore. But we know where he's at. He still lives in the things that he's instilled in me and the things that he says. And I just want to read a couple of things that he put down that his daddy told him in this book that he put together. I'll just say they're for sale too, by the way. In memory of Farrell Osborne, if this quantity runs out, there's another quantity in the car that we'll get some more. But these are some things that his dad told him that he said too. He said, "My dad said to me when I began preaching, 'Son, if you go into a church to preach and you tell something funny and they won't laugh, you tell something sad and they won't cry, you call on someone to pray, and when everybody has their eyes shut, slip out because that bunch is dangerous.'" And in this next one, he's actually at times told me this one. Dad said, "Boy, when you start preaching, you get a good beginning. Get a good beginning for your sermons. Then you get a good ending for your sermons. And when you get a good introduction and a good closing for your sermon, keep them as close together as possible." And I think I read that in our church to try to encourage folks to read what the saints of God has said and remember the things that God has done in their lives. And I'm so thankful for the legacy that he's left in my life and my children's. And the thing that about Farrell Osborne that I can say before I get into the message is that he was committed to the very end. Committed to the very end. He didn't get sick and say, "I'm going to kick out. I'm retiring." Never heard Farrell Osborne say that he was retiring. He was strong to the end. And just as they've already said that he was going to minister the best way he could, pray for people. And even the night before he passed away, the afternoon, he wasn't talking a whole lot. And Zach and Mindy, his son and daughter-in-law came in, the kids and the Williams family. Some of you know Fred Williams' family and Ann and all of them. They began to sing. And as they began to sing, it was sweet. They sang that song, "Precious Jesus." You just feel the Spirit of God move in. And they just, we had church, and he nodded his head. He said, "That's good. That was good." It's good to be able to know somebody when they cross over, knowing where they're going. They're not screaming. They're not in agony, but they're in peace. Let me tell you this too. The nurses and the doctors, all that we had talked to, said because Farrell Osborne was in renal failure, his kidneys were failing, he would die a very agonizing death, and they would have to give him lots of morphine and all that kind of stuff. And I guess on a normal situation, that might be true, but not with Brother Farrell. They didn't have to dope him up. He just went on over with the peace of God. And I thank the Lord for the memory that he has in my life and what he's done. I see Brother Farrell all the time when I make Leslie mad. And she cocked them eyebrows like Farrell would. And I said, "Oh Lord, help. We need some help in Jesus' name." And then my kids too, you can see a little bit of Brother Farrell. And then Abby loved to hunt like Brother Farrell, and Keeley would picked up the bass. She's playing the bass now like Brother Farrell would, and Shepherd, he likes his sticks. Farrell had some sticks, like walking sticks and things, and he's going through the house looking for hats. And it's just when you see the things. Got all his books too, preachers. You know, we're making a deal after church. Amen. A few months ago, we celebrated a wonderful time of the year. Every year we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It's one of the greatest days of all the year to think of our Savior. It's the reason why we can celebrate a Pharaoh's. He just crossed over. He's no longer here. He's there. And I'm excited for that. It's the day of the death of Christ we celebrate. And the week before Jesus entered the city, it was called the triumphant entry. And in that triumphant entry, most of you realize the believers that heard that Christ was coming, they gathered to celebrate. Now, let me just stop and get your mind a-turning on something, is that when you know Jesus is going to be somewhere, shouldn't we gather to celebrate? When we know that we have a meeting like a jubilee or a revival or even just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or even it's just a prayer meeting, shouldn't we gather to celebrate? That greater is He that is in you than He's in the world, and that when we gather together, all the manifestation of God's power can come down and we can just have ourselves a time. Well, back then, I believe as you can study the history and such, the folks had such a walk with God that they heard Him come and say, hey, Jesus is coming and we want to do something for the glory of God. In Matthew chapter 21, in verse 6, just remain seated for the sake of time. I get through this and maybe be an encouragement. I was watching the video and one of the last sermons that Brother Farrell preached was the olive tree. And I never got to hear that sermon. Matter of fact, our people asked me if I would preach that sermon. I might do that when I get back home. But tonight the message is on the palm tree. I just felt led to bring this message out. And it's basically probably the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. But in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 6, it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them and brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude says, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. You see, this group of people, they wanted to welcome Jesus. They went out of their way into the public to welcome Jesus. They didn't have to meet in a come down this side road or be ashamed of his triumphant entry. They wanted to go. They went out of their way and they even took off their garments and laid them down. That seems to be kind of odd that you would take your garments off and lay them down in the road, but it has significance. And then they did something kind of weird too, kind of unusual. They went and got palm branches. These great leaves, and they laid them on the ground. John 12, in verse 12 says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. These God lovers, I like that. Don't you just love people that love God? Don't you love to meet people that aren't ashamed of God? Aren't you excited? Doesn't it thrill you? Doesn't it revive you to meet people that aren't ashamed to pray in public, to praise in public, to worship at wherever they go? These people were people that want to give God some glory. Is there anybody here that want to give God some glory? Say amen. They express their love by crying, Hosanna, which means praise the Savior. These were people that were greater lovers of God than most in the area. We can see this in their choice of what they laid down. You know what they laid down? The significance of their clothes, their outer garments, which was precious to them. But they said, here's my earthly possessions that are worthy just to keep the ass in which our Lord is riding on from getting dirty. But then they went over and got some palm branches. You see, the palm was more than just the closest tree. That's what I would probably do, wouldn't you? Everybody's putting stuff down on the ground and saying, hey, there's a tree, there's some pine straw. Let's go get that. That's a whole lot easier than getting some branches from a palm tree. The palm tree was a highly favored tree in that culture, still is today. It was specifically a date palm. And some of you know, have eaten dates and they grow those today. It was an abundant tree in that area. in the neighboring regions. We see it mentioned all through the scriptures. We see it in Exodus 15:27. We see in Ezekiel 47:19, which is called Tamar, which means the palm. The palm branches were symbolic. They were used by the Jewish people as a token of victory and peace. But if you study Jewish culture and Jewish background, I don't think they ever did anything simple. Their effort in which they did things was an expression of their love. In other words, today when we want to say we love you, we may give somebody a check, just something easy. We'll give them a handshake, which I won't turn that down. Would you amen, say amen there? But when you, as a loved one, I want somebody to put some thought in something. When you really want to express your love, it takes some effort. And here, the Jewish culture, they were a people that said, here's something that's going to express my love for God. It's not just going to go get any branch. I'm not going to go get the fake flower over here or just go get something simple. I'm not going to let somebody else raise up my sacrifice and then sell it in the temple. I'm not going to let somebody else do the work. I'm going to do the work to express that I love my God. Hosanna in the highest. And these Jews were those that did that very thing. Today is a day in which we can determine to welcome Christ into our lives and be more assertive in our way in which we share Christ with other people. As we think about Brother Farrell's message in the olive tree and how it stood strong and firm and all that, we look at the very same thing with the palm tree. The palm was a revered tree. And I believe because it was symbolic of things that we as believers should be like. If we're going to be the Christian that we ought to be and be the representation of Jesus Christ as we ought to be, then we ought to look out into God's creation and say, look at these trees or look at these different things that are symbolic that represent what would be a strong believer, a strong, dedicated person. I look at Brother Farrell, and no matter what, he could forgive you. Let me tell you this story. It may get you laughing. Maybe it'll help temper the message. Amen. One year we were going down to meet Zach and Mindy. We're on 95, and we had left his church months prior to that, so he wasn't real happy with me. I was driving his Lincoln Town Car, and Leslie and Mama were in the back seat, and we're going down. I don't even think Keely was born yet. Maybe she was. She was a baby, but we were driving down the road, and he began to talk about this preacher that the church that I was going to, and he was aggravated with me, and he was saying, we got to fussing and hollering, and you know, we were doing 65, and I'm driving 75 and 85 and 95. We got that restaurant real quick, amen? And we were fussing back and forth, and he loved to, I don't know why he made me so mad so often. I don't know. I guess I made him mad too. But this is Brother Farrell talking about the Christian attitude and characteristic of a godly man, that although he knew that I was livid and upset, and he may have been part of that cause, when we were getting out of the car, I made sure I said, now, Brother Farrell, don't you think you're going to buy my lunch today? Because you know what he would have done? He would have bought my lunch. Even though that there would have been, that we had some rift and there's some problems. You know, a lot of Christians won't even talk to you. They won't even go to the same church. They'll leave. They'll move out of their house to get away from somebody if they have a problem. But friend, if we're going to be as Christ and we're going to be like Christ and pull some memories from Brother Farrell, we need to be someone that's forgiving and willing to help and continue to go and do what we're supposed to do. Now, real quick, I want you to see some things, some characteristics about this palm tree that might help provoke you to be a better Christian. The palm tree was a tree that was a providing tree. It was a tree that was a providing tree. The branches provided protection, protection from the elements of the world. Here in this setting, in the text of the scripture in Matthew and in John, we see that it provided protection from the road, from the mud, from the dirt, from the elements in which might cause some harm. And so as you look at the palm tree, and you think of the date palm that would get up sometimes the average height about 40, 45 feet. The highest that it's known to go is 80 feet high. This is probably, 35 feet? Did you say, is that about right? So you can just imagine how high, but it was a tree that was a providing tree. It protected the road from the mud and the dirt. It provided work for people because, of course, they'd have to go up them trees and get the dates. It provided work for people. The palm tree getting that high Can you imagine the difficulty it was to even get anything out of it, to get a branch out of it, to get the fruit off of it, to do anything with it? But you see, when it's growing high and it's growing and doing what God made it to do, all it's really sharing with us is that we need to be a providing people. We need to be a people that provides shade, that provides protection, that provides work for those around us. The leaves are frequently 20 feet in length. Its fruit is food for millions of people. We don't eat it as much here in this country, but overseas and over in that country, they eat them all the time. The sap is used for juice making. The fibers of the base of its leaves are woven into ropes and rigging, and all the lumber is timber they build with. The leaves are manufactured into brushes and mats and bags and couches and baskets. They say the Cyrenian people use the palm 360 different ways. They still use it today. As you look at your life as a Christian, as we relate it to the life of a palm tree and how it grows and how it gets so high, can we say about our life that we're one that is a providing Christian? That our life is one that we help protect people from hell. We help protect people from sin. We're the type of Christian that helps people get a job, hallelujah, instead of facilitate laziness. You see, our culture has changed so much where we want everybody to get a check and we say they deserve it. Friend, we need to go to work. Work, man, don't work, you don't eat. And so we find here in the scriptures as this wonderful symbolic tree is a way to teach us to be a provider. Psalms 92:12 says this, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Providing hope for those that are lost, providing clean living, providing protection from the dirt of this world, providing the tools that we need in order to get through this life. As you look at that palm tree, you go to the coast and that's where we live and you see all the different types of palms everywhere. You wouldn't think, well, they're just pretty. They're nice in the yard. They're nice next to the church. But friend, everything that God has made is made so that you and I will look at it and reflect on it and say, hey, can I be something as good as that, or do I need to be something like that? Do I need to serve the Lord and be one that's willing to provide for others? The palm also, this is a wonderful thought, is a storm-resistant tree. Storm-resistant, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God that which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Although palm trees may look weak and scrawny and they look like they're not a whole lot to them, appearances can be deceiving. The storms may come, but if you ever watched in the hurricane seasons now, they say a tropical storm just went up into Texas. You watch the footage and you see those palm trees, and I'm not sure if they're dates or not, but they're in the same family. The storms may come and they may bow down. They may get blown this way and they may get blown that way, and their leaves might be pushed up and their fruit might be scattered. But thanks be to God, you can know that them trees aren't the ones that's being uprooted and tossed over there. They're the ones that have a very storm-resistant attitude. Storm-resistant. Today, we don't have storm-resistant Christians. We don't have people committed to churches. We don't have people committed to revival. We don't have people committed to read their Bible. And so when you think about what's wrong with our Christianity today, what's wrong is people aren't storm-resistant. They're not like the palm. The root system, they say, is very evasive and grows deep. And I thought, well, that doesn't make sense, because when I'm riding down the road and I see these guys carry their these other palm trees, and it's just this little bulb of roots. You've seen that, amen? But did you know they cut those roots? And I like this thought. It don't matter if your root gets cut on a palm tree, it still has life in it. And even though man may dig you up, you can plant you somewhere else and you may have to go somewhere else. Friend, you can be sure of this, you'll live. Just need plenty of water. And that's a whole nother subject. In Psalms 37:23, the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." He's our root.
The Lord Jesus is our root, and as the palm tree has a deep root, an invasive root system, it just doesn't grow one tap, but it has thousands of roots that go out. Friend, we just don't need to harbor on one thing. We need to get in all the wonderful parts of the Word of God and get locked down and know what we believe and why we believe it. And we find that it says in Romans 15, 12, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, to him shall the Gentiles trust. And I like this verse in Proverbs 24, 16. For the just man falleth seven times and riseth again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. The believers here declare Jesus. They declare Christ in their life because they're willing to go out in public. They're willing to take their garments and put it in the way. They're willing to go up and get these trees. I think of Zacchaeus. Was a wee little man. The wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree. You know, the sycamore tree had a slick bark. It was difficult to get up a sycamore tree. It wasn't like climbing an old oak tree with this, you know, big thick bark and all that. It was difficult. These people were willing to do what was uncomfortable, what was difficult, and not because they had to, and not because it was mandated by Christ. It wasn't because it provided eternal life, but what it expressed was their love for God. God, you're worthy of me giving you my clothing. You're worthy of me going and getting this branch and getting these leaves and lay them down. You're worthy of me shimmying up a tree that's 80 foot in the air and getting these branches and laying them in the way, because it proclaims victory and praise. You know, it's interesting about the palm tree is that they're not only storm resistant, but they always grow tall. You don't see short ones. They always grow tall. The purpose of a palm tree is not to stay short. It's not to stay little. It's always to grow tall. Top height, like I said, 80 feet. It reaches the sun. The branches 20 feet sometimes in length. They're not designed to stay small. They're designed to grow tall. And let me tell you, and bear much fruit. The design of let me say it one more time. I think everybody's got too much food on their belly. The design of the date palm is to grow tall and to bear much fruit. What that means to you and I is this: if we're going to be like the date palm, God has designed us to grow tall in Christ and to bear much fruit. Much fruit. Its trunk is straight. It's tall and unbroken. At the top is a crown of emerald green plumes, like a diadem of gigantic ostrich feathers. It stands out from all other trees. You ever thought about how much we're looking like the world anymore? And the people can't tell a whole lot of difference between us and everybody else. There's a difference. You're not gonna look at a palm tree and say, well, there goes a dogwood. You're not gonna look at a palm tree and say, there goes a fern. You're not gonna look at a palm tree and say, that's a pine tree. It always stood out. It was always significant, representing victory and peace and praise. The secret to its growth is that this particular tree grows from within, not from the outside, but from within. Its tree points to Christ, its trunk, and no matter how you plant it, it'll grow towards the sun. Little simple things. You ever seen that famous photo of the beach scene? And it's just a wonderful beach scene. The sun setting over here, and here's a palm tree. It's crooked here. It's going this way, but then it turns and goes up. Sometimes our lives as a Christian, they start out and they don't go too straight, but thank be to God, because we're Christians, we're going to end up turning up straight and doing right for the glory of God. You see, God wants us to grow tall. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever. Amen. To bear much fruit. It says the second to 8 years to the eighth year of a tree, they bear 150 pounds of fruit a year. It's significant to look at the years because we understand that a couple first years is growing, it's maturing. We can't expect new believers to bear much fruit of those years. And then it says at the 8 year, it tops out. And you would think if you've been saved for at least 8 years, you ought to be bearing something, amen? Instead of thorns and thistles, glory to God. It's important for us as Christians to copy, to follow after those which set examples for us, as Dr. Osborne, as we look at his life, a committed life, a life that's just steadfast, growing even to the very end, giving God glory and praise as he signified the truth of eternal life, as he turned his head towards glory and his mouth wide open, and he's in awe as he stares towards something that we couldn't see because there was more of him on that side than more of him on this side. He was growing still, and he was birthed, Brother Craig, to the other side. In Romans 14, 19, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherein one may edify one another. 1 Timothy 6, 11, be thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Oh, to be like the palm tree. If we're going to be like the palm tree, there's one last thing and I'll be done. That is so important. It's so interesting. I never really thought about this. But the palm tree does a very important thing. It sheds what's dead. It sheds what's dead. When the leaves die, it sheds it. Fruit die, it sheds it. All the bark which is made out of the branches, if you look at them and they get all is smooth, it sheds what's dead. A problem in our churches, a problem in our lives at times is we just don't want to let that which's dead go. We just, all the dead works, the dead things, the mistakes, the falters, the things that's no longer there. You got to let those go. I just preached a message on Psalm 37, and I want you to see it says, oh, the feet of righteous men are ordered to the Lord. Footsteps of good men are ordered to the Lord. And it said, though we fall, God's got you. And though you fall seven times, a righteous man falls seven times and riseth up again. You see, when you fail and you do wrong, and as a palm tree, it just doesn't die. It doesn't let the dead things hold them down. It doesn't let all the things that are dead in their life keep them from giving God the glory and growing in grace. What it does is it sheds all that stuff. And friend, as you fall and falter as a believer, you've got to let all that stuff go and realize it's under the blood. And let's keep growing for the glory of God. Because God's going to raise you up. Romans 13, 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of God, armor of light. Let us walk honestly as the day of the Lord, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. They went to the palm tree as a representation of what they desired to be. Preachers, lay people, God's people, Jesus, here's the palm. I'm going to put it down. I'm throwing all my worldly articles there, throwing it down at your feet. Then I'm going to put the palms down. And then I'm going to cry, Hosanna. I'm going to call out to you and say, praise you. Thank you. Publicly. So everybody can hear. Sad fact that the palm tree over in that area used to flourish. But they say it's a very rare tree in that area now. It used to be that this area was called the Bible Belt, and palms were everywhere. And it's a sad fact that where are they at? They've been dying, going on to glory, and there's not been others to follow. We need to lock our eyes on Christ. We need to look at these men of God that are still here and follow and learn from them and grow in grace, shed the old stuff, grow towards Christ. Tonight, would you ask the Lord to make you like a beautiful palm, a provider, storm resistant, growing in grace, and shedding all that old stuff. Shedding that stuff don't matter. Let's just do something for Jesus. Let everybody know that you love Jesus. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight as we take in that which we've heard, not only the singing, but the preaching. And, oh God, everything we do, that we be more like the palm. And Lord, we thank you for the memory of Brother Farrell and how he illustrated a life of a palm tree. And I thank you, Lord, for Brother Billy and this wonderful church that's provided such a wonderful tribute and memorial. Thank you for their kindness and their love for Brother Farrell and Miss Phyllis all these years. And God, I pray that you'd help me learn from these giants that are in here, these giant palms that are still remaining, that I'd learn from them. And God, help me to shed all the dead things that would prevent me from growing. God anoint Brother Edwards as he brings the next message, and may we all grow closer, get revived and stirred, and give you all the glory and honor. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.